Lord, as we come to your word this morning, would you speak your words of life and faith into our hearts and open our hearts that we might receive all that you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A very good morning. This morning, I'm very aware that this is the first Sunday following Celebration of Hope. For those that are visiting with us today, Celebration of Hope was an evangelistic rally that we've been holding here through the nation of Singapore last weekend for 3 days. And we've been building up to this for a couple of years at least. And so here today, and in fact throughout all of our congregations at the cathedral, indeed, even those who are perhaps listening to the recordings of the cathedral following today, we'll have people in the congregations that went along to one of the rallies and who very possibly responded within the rallies to the various calls to Christ that came our way. Maybe there are people here today who heard the gospel for the first time in their lives. And your spiritual eyes and your hearts were opened to the life of Christ, to the things of Jesus and his kingdom. And perhaps you received him as your Savior and as your Lord. There's a picture come up on the screen there. This is last Sunday at the rally Sunday morning. And thousands came forward, or 1,000 or more came forward, and their counselors as well. And it was a wonderful time of celebration. And it was so wonderful to see so many people responding to the gospel of Christ and receiving Christ. So maybe you were one that came down to the stadium pitch at one of the rallies. I don't know. Perhaps you were listening on social media. It was being streamed live. Maybe you responded then. Maybe you've spoken to a friend since. And you've prayed with them and received Christ. However it may have happened, however you did it, you, if you received Christ, have become what the Bible calls a new creation. And so we want to welcome you today, if that is you. Or maybe you responded to the gospel message by returning to the Lord. Maybe you have been like a lost sheep and you've strayed away. Maybe you were like a rebellious son or daughter and ran away from God. But you heard the Father's voice calling you back home during the rallies and you responded to him. So we want to say to you, welcome home. Or maybe your response was to recommit or rededicate your life to Christ in some way. As J. John put it in the rally on the Friday evening, to move Jesus from being a backseat passenger in the car of your life, so to speak, and moving to be in the driving seat, to make him Lord and Master. Or maybe you were just simply touched by the gospel afresh. You were stirred by the gospel message of grace and mercy, filled with gratitude of what Jesus has done for you and how you've been living in him for many years. And I hope the gospel message was stirred afresh within you. So I don't know. Some of those things may be. However, that was all last Sunday. Now the excitement of the big events and the large crowds has gone. The inspiration of the moment, well-known artists, international speakers, that is over. We're back to regular life and regular church, and I am not J. John. The emotion of the decision that you made, that spiritual encounter that you felt, well, perhaps this morning it doesn't quite feel the same. And you may even have come back from a spiritual high to earth with a bump. If so, do not worry. That can be quite normal. The question this morning is, in fact, there's three questions. This morning is this. How do I now continue in my faith if I am new to the Christian faith? How do I move forward and stay strong if I have returned to the Lord? How do I keep fresh and alive in the power of the gospel, even if I've been a Christian for a long time? And the readings, the lectionary readings for us today, point us to the answer for that. We're mainly going to concentrate on John chapter 14 this morning. You might want to follow it through us on page 191 of your Bible. So let me get the context of our passage this morning. You see, the disciples, they had actually had known many spiritual highs. They had known many, I won't call them rallies like COAH, but many times when they have listened to the teaching of Jesus. They've been inspired by the message of Jesus. They have watched him minister healing and performing wonderful miracles. They've even been part of his miracles at times, when he fed the multitudes of the crowds. They were there helping. When he calmed the storms, they were part of that miracle. Can you imagine? They had known spiritual highs. But now they're in a very different frame of mind, because here in John chapter 14, they are realizing that Jesus is going to be leaving them. Jesus has told them many times that he was going to die, he was going to go to the cross, he was going to be crucified. But now it is the day before. Tomorrow is the day that it is happening. You see, the disciples, just like us, knew what it is to know lows and highs and lows. And here in this low time, Jesus begins chapter 14 by the wonderful words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then he goes on and he brings them words of encouragement to help them to live out their faith and to know his presence with them, even though he's going to be leaving them. And that's where we pick up in our passage this morning. And first of all, we note these things. Jesus says in verse 15 of chapter 14, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Then he says in verse 22, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Now, it's really important to understand what this does not mean. It does not mean that he loves us because we keep his commandments. It does not mean that he loves us when we are keeping his word to us. And at other times, he does not love us. He loves us because he loves us. If you remember one of the things that J. John said, that we are lovable, that we are valuable, and that we are forgivable. God loves us because he loves us. And there's nothing that we can do to gain that love. That is the gospel of grace that we heard preached so powerfully over the last weekend. What it does say is this: if we do love Jesus, then we will desire what he wants. If we do love Jesus, we will follow what he says. And so our obedience to keeping his word is the evidence of our love for him. It's the result of our love, and it's not the means by which we gain his love. We must understand that. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "Keep my commandments"? Because Jesus only gave two commandments throughout all of the Gospels. He only uses a land of commandments twice. First of all, he speaks of what he calls the great commandment. The great commandment at the heart of the law of the Old Testament. Words that we use every single week here in our communion services. Words that we use this morning. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this, Jesus says. And you see, this commandment is all about loving God, and it's all about that love of God flowing out to others beyond ourselves. We're going to be studying that commandment in another sermon series next month or so. And then the other time Jesus speaks of a commandment and he gives a commandment, he calls it the new commandment. He did that in John chapter 13, if you remember. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And again, his expectation is that his love will flow into his disciples and this time out to the other disciples, to each other, like an overflow of love coming from him. So what we see here in the commands that Jesus gives is that they are commands to love. And it's in this love that we grow in our faith, that we are nurtured in our faith. It's like the soil of our faith, allowing it to grow. And then we see how Jesus says, "Those who love me keep my word." And the word here Jesus is speaking of is the message that he's been preaching. And he says these words have come from the Father. Therefore, these are God's words to the disciples. They are God's word to us. That is God's word which is recorded for us in the Bibles that we have. So how are we sustained in faith and spiritual vitality? Well, we're to be, first of all, people of the word. We are to love Jesus. We are to love his word to us. And then when we do that, when we obey it, we find that his word is the power of God. We find that his word is living and breathing, and it brings health and wholeness. It enables us to live the life that God wants us to. We find that it's what the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit, whereby it penetrates deep into us, deep into our souls, and it restores us on the inside. It keeps us healthy. It is the bread of life. It's that which nourishes us and feeds us so we might become mature. We might become Christ-like. So keeping the word and obeying the word is life-changing. It is transformational. If you've become a new Christian, the word of God alive in you transforms you. And it's transformational because God says in his word that a promise is given. And this promise is the person of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we're called to keep God's word. Jesus says, keep God's word. We're to be a people of the word. And then secondly, we're to be a people of the Spirit. We're to be word Christians and spirit Christians, not one or the other, but both and together. Word and spirit Christians. And here, as we look at John chapter 14, we find that there's a special word that John uses for the Holy Spirit as he's trying to describe the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so he says this in verse 16. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another," and that word is paraclete, a little Greek lesson here, "paraclete to be with you forever." And we see here by the word paraclete, it says another. Now the word paraclete literally means one to come alongside. And the word another that is used there is not actually the very common word for another, which is heteros, meaning another of a different kind, like male or female. But it's a word that's allos, which means another of the same kind, of the same type. The point is that the Holy Spirit that the Father sends is just like Jesus. He comes from the same source, the Father. He has the same attributes. He has the same character. He has the same qualities as Jesus and as the Father. So the Holy Spirit, the triune God. If you're a new Christian, you're going to hear about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not one to be feared. The Holy Spirit is one to be welcomed and received, just like Jesus. And then we find here in our English Bibles this funny word, paraclete, is translated in various ways, trying to describe what it means. So first of all, it's translated in the ESV, the Bibles that we have here in the cathedral, as helper. But we need to take care how we think of this word helper, because we should not imagine him to be like a helper we might have at home, a maid who might live in our house, one who is there to do our chores, to carry out our will, who is there under our direction. Not like that at all. In fact, the Holy Spirit does want to come and live in the house of our lives, but he wants to come in and clean out everything that is dirty, everything that is unclean. He wants to come and live in every corner of the house of our lives. He wants to come into those areas that we try and hide from him, those places that we try and keep the door closed. He wants to come into every nook and cranny, every place. And he wants to direct our lives. He wants to be the master of our lives. And then there's the Old English word that is used in the King James Version. That word is the word comforter, another comforter. Now, in the context of our passage, do not let your hearts be troubled, the word comforter is a really good word to use. But it doesn't just mean the word comfort that you are probably thinking about, because in the modern New English language, we think of a comforter in these sort of ways, a bit like this, a quilt or a duvet that we put on the bed. That's called a comforter nowadays, isn't it? Or we might think of the next picture, please. That sort of comforter. But we cannot think of the Holy Spirit in this sort of way when we think of comforter. In the Old English, it has a different meaning. It has a meaning of strength. It has the word fort within it. For example, in the Bayeux Tapestry, put up the picture, please. This is a great tapestry. It's actually 68 meters long. And it tells the story of the Norman invasion of England in 1066. And in this big tapestry, it tells that story. And there's a section here that I've got up on the screen where Bishop Odo is shown urging forward the soldiers with a big club. He's not allowed to have a sword, because he's not allowed to shed blood as a bishop, but he was allowed to carry a club. And above it on the tapestry, it says, Bishop Odo comforteth his troops. You see, the Holy Spirit can be and often is an uncomfortable comforter. He is the one who encourages us onwards. He's the one who urges us forwards, even through the difficult times. He's the one that prods us and spurs us into action when we need it. And often we do. You see, sometimes the comforter takes us out of our comfort zones. And that's how we grow in our faith. And in other translations might use the word advocate or counselor. This is legal imagery. And the Holy Spirit might be thought of like a prosecuting attorney. He is the one who exposes sin in the world. He is one who exposes sin in individuals, in our lives and in our hearts. Or he can be like a defense lawyer, one who represents us when we do sin, when we do fall away. And because of the blood of Jesus, because we're forgiven by him if we're in Christ, he represents us to the Father. He is the one who witnesses to us of who Jesus is and what Jesus is like. He can be one who intercedes for us, speaks on our behalf, prays for us. Or he can be like one who advises us and gives us good counsel. John says that he is the Spirit of truth. He says that he leads us into all truth. So we find in the English language, not one word can actually describe who this Holy Spirit is, this paraclete, this one who comes alongside us. If I could, I would be able to come down maybe and get somebody, maybe get Terry, our vicar. And I'm strapped to a cable here, but I thought about doing this, so imagine that I come down and I put my arm around him, I come alongside him. And the Holy Spirit comes and does that for us. And he comes to be our helper and our encourager. And he comes to be our comforter. And he comes to be our advocate. And he comes to be our counselor. And he walks with us, one alongside us. This is the picture that John gives us here in John chapter 14. And then Jesus goes on to show how the Holy Spirit doesn't just come alongside us, but he would also come and live in us. Jesus said, I will send another, and he will come alongside you, and he will come and live within you. You see, the Holy Spirit brings the life of God into his disciples, not just with, but in. Our Old Testament reading, we heard read that wonderful prophetic vision of Ezekiel. In its historic context, what it is a word of encouragement to Israel as they were suffering in enforced exile. At the time, as he's writing, it's like they were national death was coming upon them. They were on the brink of being wiped out, actually. And so there's got this graphic imagery in Ezekiel's vision. They were like a valley of dead, dry bones. No life, without hope, and no future. That is how they felt. That is how it seemed. Things looked impossible that these bones could ever live again. And then into this, Ezekiel is told to prophesy. In other words, to speak God's word. He's told to preach, not to the people, but to the bones. And imagine, he must have seemed to him very silly or strange, maybe even ludicrous, to do such a thing. But obediently he did. And he told them what the Lord said he was to say. It says, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And this word breath in Hebrew is the word ruach. And in Hebrew, it's the same as the word spirit. It's the Old Testament word for spirit, for the breath of God that gives life. And you see, what we notice in this Old Testament passage is, again, the word of God spoken, and the life of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God comes. Word and Spirit connected together. And then in this vision, Ezekiel spoke that word. And we got that dramatic description of bones rattling and muscles forming. Obviously not literal, it's visual of what's happening in the spiritual place and what can happen. And then breath came into them. This is a promise of new life and new hope coming to the nation. But then in verse 14, as the prophecy comes to an end, it says, "And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live." And so this now becomes a promise for all of God's people throughout time and for us today. You see, the Father sends the Holy Spirit so that we might know his ruach, his breath of life within us, bringing to us the life of Jesus, bringing to us his transforming love, bringing to us his power, making us new from the inside, not from the outside, but from the inside, remaking us and restoring us and healing us and putting us back together where we have become broken. And you see, nothing is impossible for him. If he can metaphorically bring the life back to those dead bones, he can bring life to us and our situations. So let me conclude. So following a celebration of harvest, a celebration of hope, whether we're brand new to the Christian faith, or maybe we've returned to the Lord after drifting away, or maybe we've been a Christian a long time now, to grow in our faith, to flourish in our faith, to stay fresh in our faith, we need to be people of the Word and people of the Spirit. This is what Jesus taught his disciples and what we need to be too. We need to keep his commands. We need to keep his word, and we need to receive his life and his power. So let us pray together as we receive him now in this short moment. So Lord, we want to thank you that you have given us the revelation of your word, and that you speak to us. And we pray now that you would help us to keep your commands of love, and that love would be that which is deep within us and our motivating factor. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to obey your word and to do as you tell us and to do as you ask us. And Lord, as we do that, we pray now that you would come alongside us by your Spirit, and that you would walk with us, and that you would come and walk with us as our comforter, as our counselor, as our advocate, as our helper, to walk alongside us, to be with us, even through the struggles. And Lord, we pray that you would come and breathe new life into us, the breath of your Spirit, and that you would empower us and transform us and enable us to live for you. Lord, would you help us to be people of the Word and people of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.